Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word and talk about how you see and how we can see like you. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen. So we've been going through this series on seeing like he sees, or seeing as he sees. In the first week, I preached on the woman at the well, and we talked about how Jesus sees the harvest. He looks at what we see, and he sees past all of it, and he sees the end result. He sees what can happen. He sees way beyond the planting, the tilling. He sees the end result. He sees the harvest. And then Martin shared with us about Levi, about those people, and how those people need to be welcomed, how we need to welcome them. Sean shared with us about the Canaanite woman, moving beyond the religious to the raw, and having the double vision of Jesus to see what needs to happen in the moment and acting on behalf of the kingdom. And then I talked about Nathanael and how Jesus sees through all the religious facade and he pulls it back. He pulls back that curtain and sees right to the root, gets rid of all the stuff that we put to be good, sees past it all, and sees right to the soul. And then Jaime last week talked about the adulterous woman. And he sees us so that we can leave our stuff behind and walk in him. I want to wrap out the series with one of the greatest conversion stories, the story of Paul. And you can find it in Acts chapter 9 in your pew Bible. It's page 1065. Or Acts chapter 9 in your phones and wherever you're looking at the Bible this morning, your tablets, whatever. So just kind of put your finger there. I'm a history guy. I love history stuff. I was one class away from minoring in history in college. I just love everything. I think we need to learn from our past. I think we need to learn from those who have been before us. And so I was digging through, and somebody said, you know what, if we're going to talk about Acts chapter 9, you got to share this guy's story. His name is John Newton, and he's the lesser-known Newton, right? Not Sir Isaac. His name is John, and he was born on July 24, 1725. He was introduced to the sea at an early age, at the age of 11. He jumped on a ship and sailed with his father. They sailed all over the Mediterranean. And by the time he was 19, his father retired, and he decided, I'm going to do this myself, and he jumped on a couple ships and found out that life without his father was pretty rough, and he bounced around from ship to ship. At one point, he got upset with the living conditions of the ship that he jumped ship, and they chased him down, and they flogged him for leaving the ship. Can you imagine that, children? Parents would be in jail around the world. Later, he ended up on the ship called the HMS Hartwick, on a slave ship. And he quickly became a servant of the captain. And he was brutally beaten over and over and over again on this slave ship. He said, I got to get out of this. And a friend of his father's took him in. Got him out on a ship. Eventually, he became a captain of his own ship, a slave ship. Much of what we know about the slave trade in the 18th century is because of John Newton's journals. He wrote extensively about what was taking place. He worked on these ships off the coast of Sierra Leone, and almost everything that we know from that time comes from his journals. Year after year after year, working on these ships, treating people like animals, selling them like property all over the world, year after year. Enters this story about Paul in Acts chapter 9. The background of Paul, he's a Pharisee. He sees all this hubbub about this guy Jesus and is ruining his way of life. In chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 7, we see the story of Stephen. And he throws down scripture in the religious leaders' faces and said, listen, this is the pattern all the way up to this guy Jesus. And you guys are the ones that killed him. Paul, at the time known as Saul, is standing by. And scripture says they laid their cloaks down at his feet. And they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen to death. And he sees heavens open. And he sees Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Paul continues in his murderous ways, looking for every opportunity to attack, to kill anybody associated with this guy Jesus. And we enter here in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard this voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, who you persecuted. He replied, now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what to do next. Have you ever experienced that before? Have you ever come across a situation where it's like complete dark, and all of a sudden there's a big light right in your eyes? No, nobody? Nobody's broken into any stores lately? I feel like I had several examples of this growing up, where my brothers and I were sneaking around doing something, and next thing you know, the lights are on, in your face, you can't see anything. So what happens when all of a sudden you lose the sense of sight? What begins to take place? Your other senses kick in, and more importantly, your ears. You can't see past that light, and sense your senses are all messed up, and so we end up doing this kind of thing where all of a sudden our ear gets extended, and we're looking for any opportunity to find out what's going on and what's happening next. I can't help but picture that here in this story when Paul's all of a sudden, he's on, boom, this huge bright light, spotlight, on his face. And immediately, all of a sudden, he's lost the sense of sight, and his ear is extended. And all of a sudden now, he's in a position where he can hear from God. This guy, John Newton, is on his ship. The year is 1748. And he describes it as his great deliverance. There in the midst of this terrible storm, lightning, rain, torrential downpours, waves slapping the ship around like a ping pong ball. He, at the point when he thought the ship is going down, it's going to sink, he does the only thing he knows how. As an early little child, his mom had told him about the things of faith, and he'd long since forgotten them. But any time in turmoil, we have a tendency to call out for help. And he calls out and says, in the midst of the storm, Lord, have mercy on us. And the storm begins to die down. And they come through. And they survive. And later that night, he kneels down in his cabin. And that was his conversion moment. At that point, moving forward, he thought, man, there's something to this Jesus that my mom talked about. And he wants to investigate in that. He continues, though, in the slave trade for several years, selling people. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground. But when he had opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by his hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He didn't eat, he didn't drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. I love that. Go to the, very specific, Sometimes I wish in my prayer time, yes, Jeff, this is what I want you to do. Bam. What's amazing is Straight Street still exists to this day. You can go there. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answers, I have heard many reports of this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Dear Lord Jesus, please not me. Please, don't make me go. I know this guy. I've heard about this guy. The reputation he has. The minute I walk into that room, I'm dead. When Jesus aims his light into our soul, and all our senses are gone, and our ears are attentive, there's something that takes place. John, after his illness, he left the slave trade and became a minister. John Newton, slave trader to minister. Wherever he went, he drew these huge, large crowds. He wrote all kinds of songs. And in 1780, he became the rector of St. Mary Wool Church in London, where it would have an influence on a young man named William Wilberforce, who would lead the charge in England to end slavery. If that is not a warm fuzzy for you, come talk to me afterwards. He goes from slave trader to minister, to influencer who changes the world. Because of his influence on this young man, William Wilberforce, slavery gets abolished in England. And several years later, it gets abolished here in America. And no longer are people moved around like cattle. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry out my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house, and he entered it. He placed his hands on Saul, and he said, Brother Saul, I envision shaking knees. Brother Saul, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, and he was baptized. Isn't it interesting that Jesus comes in, and he puts his light down on Paul's soul? He loses his sight for 3 days. He can no longer see how he sees. A crisis has taken place. The vision of how he saw the world is gone. Previously, he saw hate and anger and frustration at people trying to disturb his way of life. And Jesus comes in, blinds his way of thinking, transforms his way of thinking, and scales literally fall from his eyes. And now he can see the way the God of the universe wants him to see. Saul becomes this man, Paul, who is the greatest international worker of all time. And the kingdom of God is spread literally around the world. Sure, there was fear and trepidation of this guy who all he did all his life was go around and try to kill these guys who had any association with Jesus. As you carry on the story in Acts, the more he speaks, the more people go, wait a second, okay, there's some transformation in this guy's life. Something has taken place. When he speaks with authority. And suffering, he experiences suffering like many of us could not even experience. And he suffers with joy and gratitude for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we walk in this world, the God of the universe is using us to see the world through his eyes, to see the world with light, to cast that light into a dark world. He's calling you and he's calling me to make a difference, to not stay in our position of how we see the world, to not stay in the position of seeing the world the way we want to see. He comes into us so that we can see the world the way he sees and seek and transform lives. John Newton, an infidel, a libertine turned pastor of the Church of England. He was secure in his faith and penned one of the most famous hymns of all time. In the midst of that conversion experience, his pen began to write. He penned all kinds of hymns, but probably the most well-known of all, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." John Newton finished this world blind as a bat, physically. But his eyes were completely open to the things of the Father. Church, have your eyes open. Have your eyes open to the things of the Father, and you will transform this world in ways that will reshape and transform lives. Paul, after having this conversion experience, the first thing he wanted to do was to get dunked. And now he was owning the peace. He was owning the peace. You have to understand, he went from killer of anybody who was associated with the way or Jesus, those people who believed in Jesus and then got dunked. The first thing he desires to do is to go out and publicly confess what the God of the universe had done in his soul. And we're going to do that this morning. Our friend Felicia has had a transformed life, and she wanted nothing more than to do an outward sign of an inward condition of what Christ had already done. So she's going to go get ready. The team's going to come up, and we're going to sing in celebration. We don't end this life. We don't begin this life and our relationship with Christ the same. My prayer request for you this morning is that you do not leave this place without being changed. That you would walk out of this church seeing as the God of the universe sees. As always, if you've never been baptized, if you've never had that outward sign of an inward condition of what Christ has done in your soul, we're going to give you an opportunity. You have a minute and 30 seconds to come meet me over at the side. 90 seconds.